Anthony, I'll drive this conversation.
Yes, do.
If that's okay with you.
Of course, yes. Yes.
And even though I'm driving the conversation, to the best of my knowledge, there I won't be leaving a carbon footprint by this form of driving.
Even a Google search has a carbon footprint.
I'm going outside to plant some seeds after this conversation. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good, yes, yes. As long as they're tree seeds and they'll last for 100 years.
This book was published 2012. This is the latest book by the same author.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think of is I'm going to run myself up a rabbit hole around that sort of stuff, because there's a much more complicated book I'm reading, which is called You Must Change Your Life. I am becoming more and more fretful, concerned, angry, irritated, all of those kind of things about planet Earth. I got it into my head that I was going to do 20 episodes about the future of planet Earth during the month of December.
Oh, yes, yes.
The next thing that I said to myself was that whatever about how I'm feeling, I know how little I'm doing. Who are the people who I know who are doing at least something? There are only three people that I know personally who are doing something that I consider to be significant, and you are one of them.
Okay, okay. Right.
The other person is a business partner of mine who goes around picking up plastic bags.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And has committed himself publicly to living a life from now on in which he adds value to the environment, mm-hmm, rather than takes, mm-hmm, it away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somebody like you will understand quite how difficult that would be.
Yes. 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 Okay. Yes, certainly. Hmm.
There's you, there's Roger Overall, and the third person is another friend of mine who is in Toastmasters, Shirley Gallagher. You may or may not have come across her sometime.
I think I know the name, yes.
Shirley is at the moment, went off to Lisbon to be there to greet Greta.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But the thing about Shirley is that she is a scientist, PhD in chemistry, who has been working on different angles on sustainability for a long time.
Yes.
She's involved in policy development with companies and stuff like that. All of that led me to thinking, I want to talk to Anthony during December.
Yes.
Even though we could talk forever, I have three topics.
Right.
I want to draw you out on. In no particular order, electricity.
Mm.
Topic number two, drastic effective action. The third one is, have we any chance of success? They're the three topics, Anthony.
Right.
I know what I think about all three. Which one would you like to start with?
Well, let's start with the top, which is electricity.
Anthony Day, you know a lot about carbon footprints and all that. Do you think it's true that if we could cut out the use of electricity lock, stock and barrel overnight, that we would reduce our carbon footprint by at least 25%?
Well, if we cut out our use of electricity overnight, I think society would follow fairly shortly. We've got to have electricity. Electricity is the future. But we've got to look at different ways of generating our electricity. And yes, there is a big carbon footprint. There's a lot of coal-fired power, although less and less in Western Europe, sadly more and more in China at the moment. I believe you have peat-fired generation in Ireland, which seems to be pretty irresponsible. But leaving that aside, we've got to look at renewables, we've got to look at battery storage and other methods of storage. We've also got to look at ways of limiting our use of electricity, or using it in the most possible efficient way. Wind is an obvious one. Solar is another obvious source. And there's even talk in the UK of an interconnector cable from the UK to Iceland, where Iceland will generate electricity from geothermal. Having said that, we could still generate our own power from geothermal. It's just that in Iceland, it's a bit closer to the surface of the Earth.
If we had the power to do this, and if we were prepared to suffer the consequences, what effect would it have on our carbon footprint if we completely banned the use of electricity for certain purposes, completely banned it? So for sake of argument, if we ban the use of electricity generated by carbon, by coal, let's say, all coal-fired electricity is banned, what effect would that have on our carbon footprint?
Well, I don't know the actual statistics at the moment, but in the UK, we are already going for weeks at a time without using any coal because we've changed the mix of generation. That doesn't work in the winter because we need far more of it. But, well, I don't think it's practical. It would cut our carbon footprint, but it would also make the nation almost ungovernable, I think, because we rely on electricity so much. This is the dilemma, the trade-off, that we need to do it. We know it damages the planet, but we know that society would break down if we can't continue to produce the electricity that society needs and expects. Therefore, we've got, as I said earlier, to make much more efficient use of our electricity, and we've got to look at cleaner ways of generating it.
Let's take this on then, because you use the word ungovernable, and the word ungovernable is, in my mind at least, it's associated with something being much too drastic. I came across Greta's use of a phrase on Instagram during last week, and the phrase was drastic, effective action. She was talking about keeping up pressure on our leaders by taking drastic, effective action. What does the phrase drastic or drastically or drastic effective action, what does that conjure up for you, Anthony?
Well, that, I think, is the activities of Extinction Rebellion, taking action that actually makes governments take notice. And what they attempted in October, of course, was to paralyse parts of London and to overstretch the police force, which they managed to achieve to a certain extent. Action in that context is action to raise the profile, because Extinction Rebellion does not claim to have all the answers. What it's trying to do is to say to the government, you need to do something. You need to assemble the experts and all the people who can actually decide what it is that we need to do to deal with this climate crisis. All we're saying as activists is get on with it.
How drastic is drastic? What would be an example of something that would be, that in your opinion, Anthony, would be just on the borderline, but it would be okay, but it could very easily not be. It could be too drastic. It might kill the patient. What kind of actions are on the borderline?
Well, I think the action in London where they attempted to stop one of the either a tube train or a suburban train, that upset a lot of people. It particularly upset people who couldn't really afford to lose time at work. So therefore it was misplaced, and it was targeting people who had much more to lose and people who are not in government. They're not the people to be influenced. And frankly, if you just inconvenience them, and our present government possibly is not particularly concerned about them, so it's not really going to work in terms of making our government do something. So that's why I think disruption around Parliament, which is what's happened in October, is the way to go. But there are other things, and Extinction Rebellion is planning other things. There's a hunger strike going on at the moment. And you could say that's marginal, because the ultimate of a hunger strike is death, isn't it? And there are some very, very committed people, which I respect, and I have no intention myself of going for a hunger strike. I couldn't cope. It's difficult.
What about action that will be effective? I can think of a whole load of things which would be cause wonderful publicity, which might even be amusing, but wouldn't have any influence. What thoughts have you got about what makes an action become effective in the current crisis, Anthony?
It becomes effective if it affects a lot of people and the press pick it up and they start talking about it, whether they criticise it or whether they support it. It raises the profile. It gets onto the evening news. It gets onto the front pages of the paper. And it gets people standing up in Parliament and possibly fulminating against it. But that's the sort of thing that we have to do. Because people point out that before Extinction Rebellion came along, they'd spoken to MPs, they'd written to the papers, they had gone on demonstrations neatly at the side of the road, and they'd done this for years and years, and nothing at all had happened. So now Extinction Rebellion comes and says, we will disrupt, we will stop things, we will make people inconvenienced, and that will make them complain, and the government will have to do something about it. Now, at the moment, the government may, with the present government, may well look to more draconian measures to suppress protest. But, of course, that won't solve the situation. And given that a lot of people who protest are fully willing to get arrested and even sent to prison, it's going to be very difficult to repress them by legal means. And if they start using force, and, of course, the cardinal principle of Extinction Rebellion is force is never, and violence is never, ever used. But if the state tries to use it, then I think even more people will come onto the streets and say, this must stop.
I think you and I would agree on something, Anthony. I think we'd agree that effective action is action which leads to a change in the law, which, when applied, reduces the carbon footprint significantly. Would we agree on that?
Well, yes, whether it's a change in the law or whether it's a change in government policy, yeah, it's a measure which does it. So therefore, regulating the power sector, regulating the transport sector, encouraging people to change from petrol vehicles to electric vehicles. Although that's a minefield in itself, a lot of people say that the resources are just not there to convert the whole fleet to electric. And you have to ask whether it's a sensible idea to move from petrol powered traffic jams to electric powered traffic jams. We really ought to be looking at transport in a much more fundamental detail.
And Anthony, if you were asked to give advice to a pressure group on what single action could they take which would be effective, in other words, would lead to a change in government policy, and by that I include laws, what type of action would you be urging them to take? Would it be, for sake of argument, block the roads outside Parliament? Would it be send death threats to your MPs? What action would you be advocating?
You'd certainly not send death threats to anyone, because that counts in my book as violence, and that is completely unacceptable, and that would just destroy the credibility of anybody who did that. Whatever has to be done, I think it's got to be civil disobedience, because that disrupts the state. But no single action is going to cause the government to do anything. It's got to be, I think, persistent and continuous. And we're going to see more and more reactions. And we're going to see it across the country as well, and not just in London. But London, of course, is where the press is. And that's where, well, it's where the shoe pinches. That's where you get the best publicity, I suppose.
Last question, Anthony, really, or last section.
Uh-huh.
Built around a big question, which is the planet doomed no matter what we do? Do you think there's any real hope for human civilization, human and animal and vegetable civilization as we know it? Or do you think that, well, we might as well salve our conscience, but we aren't going to succeed anyway?
It's quite easy to be as negative as that. And the more I read, the more difficult I think the future is going to be. But I read a report by an article in the journal Nature this week. And the authors there said, we think that we've probably already reached tipping points in a number of crucial areas. But what they said was that they didn't think tipping would actually happen as fast as you might expect, and there was some scope for humanity to take action to counter the effects of that tipping. Yes, things are going to get very difficult. There are nations, particularly island nations, who were at COP25 this week, who are already suffering from the effects of climate change. In that particular case, the Marshall Islands are underwater, or at least they've been flooded to depths of 5 meters by freak storms because of sea level rise. I think we're going to see the third world or the developing countries very badly affected, particularly by sea level rise, and I think it's our duty to do something about helping them. While we should be looking at mitigation, in other words, trying to stop climate change getting any worse, we are going to have to look at adaptation because of the climate changes that's already built into the system. And we've got to look at ways in which we can deal with it, which could be a flood prevention. It could be moving populations from areas which have become so hot that it will support nothing at all. We have to do an awful lot. Business as usual is an illusion. We've got a lot of pressing needs that we're going to have to, or governments, international governments, are going to have to face up to. And let's hope that we see something coming out of COP25, this conference in Madrid at the moment, which shows that they are taking this seriously.
What a great way to let us say adjourn the conversation.
Okay.
Let us adjourn, Anthony. I can't thank you enough,
It's a pleasure.
and I look forward very much to sharing this conversation with other people.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
I would also love you to share whatever you think is of value in this
Fine.
conversation with your network.
Yeah, well, that would be good. Yes. It's always useful to have something in the can, as I'm sure you know.
Absolutely.
All right.
So look, you've got to dash.
Yes.
I've got to let you go, I promised.
Lovely.
And thank you ever so much. At the very least, I look forward to meeting you in person in Paris.
Well, I'm intending to go to Paris. Yes, it'll be nice to see you again, and I do hope they have whiskey there, but I'm sure they do.